Yeshakar for everyone for coming. The mere fact that we take time out of our busy schedules is that itself shows the chashivas of the Indian of Chinuch HaBanim. I want to thank all those that were involved in making this shiur possible. A lot of work goes into every shiur, especially to Shmuel Luxembourg, who was already for many, many months was being mishtadel making the shiur possible. The shiur is the Ilan Nishmas, Moshe ben Reb Tzvi, Moshe Fuller, a chaver of mine who in a short life was zoche to be machanech and makari of many, many people. The title of the shiur is The Beauty of Chinuch. I didn't want to use the words challenge. I didn't want to use the word issues. It's the beauty of chinuch, because the Ritaka is something beautiful that we're able to do. It's something that we daven for. It's something that we can't wait to be able to machanech a child. It's such an incredible schus to machanech children with the proper chinuch. And it's a beautiful thing. Like all beautiful things, it takes a certain amount of ishtadlis. The more you put into it, then the more you get out of it. And the purpose of the shiur is that I hope that we come out with it with a certain confidence that we can do it, that we have the ability, we have the kochos to mechanech our children in the proper way. We've been mechanech our children for over 5,000 years, over 5,700 years. This is not a new thing. There has always been nisyonos in chinuch, and we're always matzliach. Certainly, as Yidden, for over 3,000 years, we've been matzliach in raising our children, raising b'machanech children in the time of the Tsar, in the Middle Ages, and all the times of history was never easy. And who are dealing with the challenges of the 21st century? It's also not easy. But we shouldn't say, "Oh no, it's so hard. How can we do it? You know, there's so many challenges. We've made it before. We'll be matzliach now." It's true that, to a certain extent, Chazal tell us that raising children is totally b'mazel. Sometimes you see families that have wonderful children, but the parents don't seem to be, they don't seem to be the greatest machanchim. At least on the outside, they don't seem to be. They might not even have the best midas. Sometimes the opposite. Parents that are mamish, you know, incredible machanchim and always being mishtadel to improve on their skills of being proper parents. And sometimes they're not always matzliach. But these are generally speaking exceptions to the rule. The rule usually is that the more you put into it, then the more shtalos you do, and then you have Seat Dishmai, Bimasliach, Bimachanach Banim. We have to use our Seichel. There's certain Masorah and Bimachanach Banim. Obviously, there are changes for each generation due to the challenges of each generation. There are many books, particularly now, there's many, many very, very Choshevah books available on Yonei Chinuch. But a lot of times we tend to think that you need a book to Bimachanach children. We tend to think that we use it as a crutch. I mean, it's like a calculator. I mean, we can't add 2 + 2 unless we use a calculator. And so therefore we think that, you know, I can't even begin to do anything until I got to read a book exactly what to do. Ruba the ruba of what you need, and basically everything that you need to machanech children is there. You already have it. It's instilled in you. You know, Kosh Baruch Hu gave you a seichel. He gave you when a child is born to the world. Herzl writes that he's born into a family that have the kochos to take care of that child. There are times that we need help. There are times that we have to ask etzes, and therefore these books come in handy, although they're just very general, but that we have to ask etzes in each particular issue from a rav who knows our particular family. But it's very important to keep in mind that you have to be yourself. Every parent, all families have different styles. There are families that are stricter families. There are families that are a little looser. As long as it fits into what's the into what's considered normal, it's all right. It's not, doesn't go to either extreme. And therefore, sometimes you might hear a share or read a book or whatever, and you know, you feel, you know, that's not me. And sometimes it's a chisaron, maybe that should be you. But sometimes just you have to feel, where do you stand? Where should you be? What really you are? So you have to be yourself for you to be machanech your children. You have to know what my kochos are, the kochos of Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to me when I'm able to give over to my children. So you can't fit into a mold. There's no official rules. Right? There's no shulchan aruch on chinuch banim, and there's room to maneuver. But there's certain specific strategies that are based upon Chazal, and that if used properly, then one will be much liach in their chinuch. It's important to keep in mind not to be afraid to make mistakes. Sometimes we're scared, you know, we made a mistake in our chinuch, we might have done something wrong, we were too strict, we weren't strict enough, we said something we shouldn't have said, we got upset when we shouldn't have got upset, and then we're worried, oh no, what's going to happen to my child? I mean, the children are stronger than we think. There's room for mistakes, as long as you learn from mistakes and make sure not to repeat it, certainly not too often. But there's room, Kodesh Baruch Hu has it, it's all built into the system, that there's room for mistakes. We're not expected to be perfect. We have our ups and downs, but as long as it's more ups than downs, and we're careful to always correct our mistakes, then we will be matzliach. There are times that you don't see the immediate payers of your chinuch. I know one of the chashuv rosh yeshivas of our time, is known as a lamdan and as a baal etza, baal midas. So I know someone who was very friendly with him when he was younger, or knew him when he was younger. He says he was a vildachaya. You know, he was running around wild. He just, you know, and he grew up in a very chashuv family, but just naturally he just was very, very wild. And now he's such a Balmidas and everything, and it's not just that changed somewhere down the line. It was all there. Everything that his parents gave to him was there. Sometimes it takes time for it to happen. And not until they turn to the high teens you start to see the maturity of a child. Until then you're wondering, oh no, what's going to happen? So yeah, sometimes it takes patience. You don't see the parents right away. Last but not least is that we have to daven. That Hatzlach and Chinuch Banim does not come by itself. The Nisyonos are great. The society we live in has its challenges. And for Dori Doros, part of the established process of Chinuch has been the tefillahs that the fathers and mothers have poured out, that Kodesh Baruch Hu should help them in the Hatzlach of training their children. There are specific parts of davening that are brought down that one should try to concentrate in those particular parts, whether it says Eina b'Birchas HaTorah, Lunigal Arik, then to Bebalat Sion, Nyakurpokon, Zarachai v'Kayoma. We sing it as a song all the time, not realizing it's an incredible tefillah. That our children should be Oseg b'Araisa, continuously all the time, and when we say it, we have to mean it. And those are built-in tefillahs in our davening, and besides our own personal tefillahs, by Halakas Neiris. It's also an established time where women daven for the hatzlach of their children. There's tefillahs that are said Motzei Shabbos, but not the one has to start singing all the different tefillahs. Your own personal tefillahs are the ones that mean the most. And sometimes there are. I remember once I heard a story about the Chassam Sofer that they once asked the Chassam Sofer, why are you matzliach in raising a Ksav Sofer? It's very rare that we see that the Gadol's son is the next Gadol Hador. You have Gadolim with very chashuv children, but that a Gadol's child, like a Gadol ben Gadol, I mean, it's not, you know, we see it, but it's not so common. But the Ksav Sofer was one of the great Gadolim of the next generation after his father, Chassam Sofer. Why was he zochah to that? And the Chassam Sofer answered, he said, not a day goes by without tears in my eyes. So we had to daven for the hatzlach of our children. But there's kind of a funny story that Rav Matthew Salomon tells, that when he was a bacher in Gateshead, so he's, you know, beginning of the zman, everybody's trying to find the best chavrusa. So there's a certain bacher who was not from the most chashuv of a bacher, he tried very hard, but he wasn't as far as intelligent and everything. He didn't have the same kishonis as others. But he always managed to get from the best chavrusas. And no one understood why. I mean, even the chavrusas themselves, the chashuv of bacher, didn't understand why they said yes to this particular bacher. And so one time, the bacher overheard him talk on the phone. He said, "Mom, you can stop davening now. I got the chavrusa already." So his mother used to always daven that he should get the best chavrusa. We are a link in the Masara, meaning the part of the chain of the Masara Ali from Har Sinai and earlier from the Avos of teaching our children. And we have a very important achrayas. And it's very important that we do it in a proper fashion. But we have the kochos. We have to have confidence in ourselves that we can do it. We're able to do it. We might need some help here and there, but we have the kochos, we have the abilities to mechanech our children in the proper way. I want to discuss tonight the two main issues. I don't think we can't cover everything in tonight. And by the way, just because one comes to a shiur in chinuch doesn't mean that all of one's issues will be taken care of overnight. You know, these are things that we have to work on slowly to incorporate into our families in order to have hatzlacha. As I said, you know, Paris don't happen overnight. And sometimes if there's inyonim that were not incorporated and you're kind of a little late, the child already is grown without certain yesodos, it takes sometimes even longer to and you have to know how to incorporate. You can't just come home from a shiur and say, okay, the whole family's going to be different, run differently. You have to know how to incorporate little by little. So, which means, I mean, we have to always use our seichel. I'll discuss two main topics is time, giving time and connecting to one's children. And number two is teaching the concept of authority in the house. So let's start with time. We all love our children. In fact, the avos of libano, aim libano, is kind of the epitome as avava. It's been the Tarkash Baruch who loves us like a son, like a father loves his son. You know, that this is natural love, that, you know, that's part of me, and for people love their children. So it's a fact, we love our children. But like all inyone ava, it has to be expressed. Same thing by ish v'ishto. You know, you can't just assume, okay, we love each other. It has to be expressed. And therefore one has to let their children know that they love it. And the way to do that is by giving them attention. And this, again, there's a lot of parallels here between inyone shalom bayis and inyone chinuch banim, but obviously tonight I'm concentrating on chinuch banim. You have to give a child attention. And children need attention. A lot of times when you see a child getting into trouble, starting to have improper and huggers, and many times, can't say all the time, it's a simen ledover that he needs more attention. You see a child's acting up for a few days and not acting well and properly in school, whatever, and then it's a similar dover that there's something bothering them, and many times it means it's a lack of attention. A lot of times, my wife always tells me, you know, so-and-so needs a little more attention today, and so-and-so needs a little more attention. You know, I have my homework for me, that, you know, who to give more attention this week, and so on and so forth. And these are things that you have to be open to. But love means attention. And when we say attention, it's full attention. Undivided attention. When one speaks to the children, you have to look at them in the eye. Obviously, we're busy, sometimes we're washing dishes, we're doing things at the time. We can't always do that, but the ikker time when we're speaking to our children is we have to be looking, speaking to them and giving them our undivided attention. Which means you have to turn off your cell phone at the time. I mean, it's a... You see sometimes families go on a trip in a car, which is a wonderful time for a family to connect. And the father is on his cell phone. Sometimes the mother's on her cell phone. And, you know, it's that's time for your children. You go to the zoo, you go to a museum, amusement park, wherever you are. then that's it. It's time for the children, nothing else. If you're a doctor and you're expecting a call for Pikuach Nefesh, you're on call, is one thing. But this is time to give to your children. Children are sensitive to this. Children know when, says, you know, my father's not all here. You know, he's not giving me. You know, he's with me, but he's not with me. You know, he's busy taking care of things while he's taking me out for ice cream. You know, it's when you give time to your children, that is time you give to your children, that's it. And there are times where it's technology off time. Supper time, for example, homework time, whatever it might be. Time you give to children, then that's it. So you take the phone off the hook. You don't answer calls, whatever the case might be. Today, everybody thinks every call is important. You know, I have to be available, I have to... And it's a sickness that we have. But there's times that it's off. That's it. The... Avi Shulman, he has this idea that you know, when you have time with your family, supper time and everything, if there's a call, I tell him in the middle of a staff meeting. You know, staff meeting stands for special time afforded or allotted for family. I'm in the middle of a staff meeting. If meeting a kasha, I don't want to bother you. And if you're spending time with your son, then people, you know, well, I have something important. I got to ask you. But middle of staff meeting, okay, you know, then you're not available. But that's and sometimes people have a hard time doing this, you know. They, but you have to give them your undivided attention. One has to know how to be able to schmooze with the child. You know, if most of the interaction with your child is telling you what to do, even you're very nice about it and you're doing it in the proper way and so on and so forth, you're not being mean and it's working and so on. But that can't be your whole interaction with your child. Is, you know, do this, don't do this, please do this, you know, this and that. You gotta just have some fun time with your child. Got to be able to schmooze. You have to put yourself, you know, take away many years from your life. Imagine you're a child, and it's always good to think like that, and it's always good to think young and remind yourself of your childhood. Then you're able to relate to a certain extent with your children, just to be down to earth with them. And talk about silly things, and talk about elephants, and talk about the interesting things that happen, and just enjoy them. Just spend time and... telling them, reading stories, reading books for children is always a very special time. It doesn't always have to be a Musar story, you know, or some type of moral at the end of it. Just be some fun thing, you know, it doesn't have to have any, by the way, Musar stories are important, and children learn a good amount from stories and have morals to it, but that doesn't have to be all the stories that you say. Just say fun things, you know, just some interesting thing that gets a child to laugh, and you tickle them at the time, and so on and so forth. At the Shabbos table, that it's very important, you know, to speak about the parsha, and children come home as they get older with parsha sheets and vortlach on the parsha, and so on and so forth. But it's also a special time you can connect with your children by telling them stories, and you have to prepare this. It could be stories that are on the parsha, which again, should not always be this deep Musar type things. You know, it's I know when sometimes children, they like gematrias better. You know, they don't want to always, and therefore we learn that you shouldn't say a lie. And therefore we learn, they like, you know, gematrias and things as they get older. You know, they like something which is just a little more, you know, subtle. But again, sometimes you do need the Musar stories. But Shabbos time should be a time where you could just say, you know, interesting stories. In my house, I have a whole series of stories, of famous Mr. Greenberg stories. I'm sure some people have been by my house have heard them. It's just, you know, interesting character. I make up the stories if I'm able to design them exactly the way I want. And all different things. You know, Mr. Greenberg was visiting his friend in Alaska in an igloo for Hanukkah, and then he brought his whole long big menorah, and the whole igloo melted, and he got a little cold in the middle of the night as he was sleeping, and... You know, it's an interesting story. That's my Hanukkah story. I told it to my children. You know, then I have Mr. Greenberg climbing Mount Everest, and it was extremely and there was middle of a storm. Wasn't supposed to happen because you only climb Mount Everest 3 months of the year, and it was during that time. And a storm came, and he brought his cholent for Shabbos, and Baruch Hashem, the cholent was hot, and it made a big hole into the ice, and then he was able to climb to the big hole and save his life. You know, all these different stories are just fun stories. They just, you know, they want me to tell them over and repeat them year to year and everything, and I try to make up new ones. And Mr. Greenberg Purim stories. You're allowed to have fun time with your children, and you have to have fun time with your children, and that's how you connect to them, and that's how they have a closeness with you. when children come home from playgroup, from school or something, you have to greet them. You have to greet them. They're coming in a carpool, whatever, you know. And they, so they're going to come home, throw their knapsack on the floor, and maybe go and play with a game, you know. And you're busy or something, but take out just a minute or two and just say, "How was your day?" Greet them, look at them in the eye. I mean, you have to give them attention. You might think they don't need attention. They're busy playing with their game. They need attention. Don't be tricked by them. They want attention. They're waiting for the parent to come and say hello to them. Bedtime. Bedtime is not just a time where they have to go to sleep. Bedtime is always an issue in families. Sometimes it's easier than others. Sometimes certain children are harder. But even at a very young age, bedtime is a time when you relax with your child. Usually, you end up falling asleep. But you relax with your child, and you you tell them over again some nice story, fun story, with a moral, without a moral, depending on the case. And that's when children are very, very relaxed. You know, they're sucking on their blanket, they're sucking their thumb. And even at older ages, they're very relaxed at that time. If something's bothering them, that's a time when a child will start to open up. You might have wanted to get them to sleep by a certain time, and now you see it's going to take 10 minutes longer because they have to air out. Okay, you know, that's the way it'll have to be. You can't be so yekish about the exact times. You know, child has to be asleep by this time. You know, you can't always work like that. Some families work like that, but there has to be exceptions to the rule. And that's when a child sometimes becomes very emotional. They might cry. They got hurt that day. Someone says something about them. They keep it in, but then it comes out at bedtime. These are times when you have to spend time with your children. Just a note for fathers. As children get older, there's a tendency for fathers to spend more time with their sons than their daughters. You know, we learn with our children, whether it's Chumash, whether it's Mishnayos, with our sons, rather. We play ball with our sons. You can play ball with girls too, but usually we end up playing balls more with our sons. And so families that have girls and boys in them, there's a tendency for fathers to naturally be closer to their sons than their daughters. And it's important that a father should make time to spend time with his daughters, older or younger. Whether it's, again, either playing ball with them or even learning with them. Obviously, not going to learn Mishnayos with them, but just to learn a little bit, whatever madrega they're on, whatever they want to learn, you know, something interesting on the parsha, whatever it might be, depending on the case, it's important to do that. I mean, everybody knows that I come late to Shalom Zachar's. I'm usually when the last person comes from Zachar's, and it is usually because that's when I spend time learning with my daughters at night. You know, my son Baruch, so I learn with him too on Friday nights. But then even after I finish learning with him, I still have, you know, try to line up one or two daughters, and I'm not always so good with it, but I try to, you know, spend time with them. And then by 10:30, 11 o'clock, I'm ready to go to the Shalom Zachar. So please don't be offended if I come late. Sometimes I knock on the door, there's no answer, so I end up not coming. But when you listen to a child, they have to know that you're listening to them, and that's why you nod. It's important to nod your head. And this is really applies to anyone you're listening to. This is any social etiquette, social exercises, and this is just something that is particularly with children. Sometimes even repeat, "Oh, you really, that's what happened to you today?" You know, they want to make sure that you're listening. And it takes a lot of patience. You know, children tend to talk a lot, depending on the child. And sometimes they don't even understand what they're assuming that you know everything that's happening and that you know who their friends' names are and the game that they're talking about. And it takes time for you, and it takes a lot of patience to realize, you know, sometimes after a whole conversation, I ask my wife, you know, what were they talking about? You know, so I'm looking at them, I'm paying attention, I'm trying, you know, and everything else, you know, but they don't have to know that you don't know what they're talking about, as long as they feel that, you know, and you should try to figure it out, obviously, but you have to try to connect to them. And this is easier said than done. We have busy lives, we're holding in three things at once. It's very, very important to do that. We have guests by our house. We all have guests by our house. And it's important to have guests at the Shabbos table, depending on where you're holding in your marriage. But that's something, it's, you know, whether guests that need a place or just to be able to connect to people and so on and so forth. But you cannot ignore your children. And you have to give a good amount of time to your children. That doesn't have to be all the time to your children. You are allowed to talk to your guests, and it's important to children to see how you talk to other people, how you makshiv other people, and whether they're running around or not, whether they really see it or not, but they end up learning how to talk to people from that. But you have to, particularly at the beginning of the Suda, before they lose their patience, you have to be able to give attention. You know, your guests will understand. You talk to your children about the parsha sheet and everything else, whatever it might be. You could bring your guests into the picture also, but the children have to see they're not just pushed to the side every time you have guests over for Shabbos. Shabbos time is family time, including Shabbos afternoon. We all know about Shein B'Shabbos Tanug, the mitzvah, the great mitzvah, Shein B'Shabbos Tanug. But that's good when you're a bacher, it's good when you first get married. But as a family grows, it gets older, you might not be able to access that as much. Put your head down for a few minutes, whatever. The children need you. You want to take turns with the wife and husband, can take turns, whatever it is. The children need you. And playtime with children is completely different when children are playing on their own. I mean, anyone who goes to a park and you see that there's children that the parents just sent into the park across the street, you know, go to the park and, you know, come back, make sure you're home by so-and-so time. And then there's parents that go to the park with their children. Same age children, but the way they act in the park is different if their mother is there or their father is there or not. And also the connection they have to the parent is different. So even playing with toys, there's little cars on the floor where so you don't be so concerned about your shopping suit. So you lay on the floor and play with cars with them. Many times, even though I have always have shir to prepare my Shabbos afternoon shir, whatever. But before I prepare the shir, there are times I'm playing Scrabble with my children, whatever the case might be, reading them a book, and it's a pressure because I got to prepare shir, and as it is, I don't have that much time to prepare it. But the children need time. Sometimes our wife could do it. Sometimes another one has to do it. And these are all things that we have to just incorporate into your schedule. It's very important. I'm not so macher about Shabbos games, Legos and these type of things. I'm makel by, there's no way serbona by them and everything. And you yourself could go and play with your children with them. And these are very, 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 very important things. Later on I'll discuss about toys, probably in a different share, but it's very important to have Shabbos toys. If children get so used to electronic toys, which are not the best thing even during the week, but it's important that they know how to play with just toys using their own imagination and so on and so forth, and they'll have what to play with and keep themselves busy on Shabbos. Sometimes a child will have an issue they have to discuss with you. This could be at a very young age, even when they're just beginning to learn how to talk. You don't have to have the answers to all their issues. You don't have to have what to do if their best friend got mad at them. You don't have to have all the answers. But as long as you pay attention to them and give them time, and they know that their parent loves them, then that usually takes care of 90% of the issue. Ignoring is the worst abuse. That's it when it comes to Nyonei Shalom Bayis. That comes with any Bein Onam L'Chaveira. We think that it's, Shev Al Tasa, I'm not just saying anything. But ignoring is the worst abuse. And it's like a proven fact. It's certainly when it comes to children, that just to not pay attention to them when they're asking for attention, maybe because you might be upset at them or whatever it might be, sometimes maybe it's necessary, but on the average, that's ignoring it is the worst abuse. When children are asking for attention, you have to give it to them. Never, don't let computers and games become the parent. When you want to keep the children busy, go play a computer game. It's true that does keep children busy, but there has to be interaction between the parents and the children themselves in their playing time also. It's important to hug and kiss our children. We see the stickers on cars and bumper stickers about hugging cats, and some about hugging children too. But it's important to be to give them real love. There's all different mahakim. Some families are into kissing more than others and everything, but everyone needs it to a certain extent, especially children, not just young children, But even already the middle-aged children, sometimes when they get older, they might be more uncomfortable with it. But there has to be some physical affection to children. They have to realize that their parent loves them. And compliments, of, obviously, one has to continuously compliment your children. You know, even though later on we're learning about obedience and training our children, but that's, you know, one no to nine yeses, to nine positive statements, I should say, not to necessarily yes. But, you know, you need a lot of positive statements, and once in a while you say something to be machanech the child, you know, the proper way, he's doing something wrong. But there has to be more yeses and more positive than negative, much more. Now, all I've been talking about is giving time to our children. Now, the problem is that we just don't have time. We all know. We're so busy. And we're doing good things. It's not like we're wasting our time. Whether it's making our panasa, whether it's running the family, taking care of family issues even outside of the house, arranging things and so on and so forth. I mean, it's a very busy life, and carpools and everything. But like everything, if it's something's important, then we'll make the time. And something's not easy, as I mentioned. You know, sometimes I have a shear to prepare, and maybe the shear might not come out so well. You know, maybe it's not as sharp or something. But I was busy doing something else before. You know, it's something that we have to, you have to realize that it's something important. And we manage to find time for important things. Sometimes you find time to schmooze to a friend, which is important. Sometimes you find times to, do something enjoyable, which also is important. But spending time with children is so, so important. Children grow up very fast. The next thing you know, they might be married, they might be out of the house, they're in yeshiva katana, they might be in out-of-town high school, whatever it might be, seminary, and then you start to get the feeling, if only I would have just spent more time. Baruch Hashem, they're doing good, they're wonderful children. I wish I could have just enjoyed them more. You know, now already, who knows, they might get married, and, you know, Mr. Shanley's get married soon, but I missed out that special time with them just to connect. And that's why, this is the time to connect your children, to spend time with them. It'll make a difference for their whole lives. Even when they are married, and they have their own children, they have their own, and you become a grandparents, and so on and so forth, the relationship with your children then is very much depending on what your relationship is now. Now, a lot of times with there's children, there's many children in the family. It's hard to give them all attention. Sometimes you give attention to groups, the smaller children now and the older children at this time. Sometimes it's important to give individual attention. You take one or two out just for ice cream, just for pizza. And there have been times, like, you know, the whole summer I go in every few days, another child to ice cream. I love ice cream. So for me, it's great. I get to eat all the... and they usually don't finish up their ice cream, so I eat their ice cream too. But you just take them out to ice cream, just, you know, buy them a Snapple and ice cream, some French fries, whatever it is. And even the little children, I'm not saying they, you know, maybe eat all that much when they're little, but just to give, they feel so good that, you know, my father spent time with me, my parents spent time with me. Those that are being osik v'tzarchei tzibur, and it's a beautiful thing, you know, people involved in different stuccos, in different arranging different things for the tzibur. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what Klal Yisrael runs on. Kol oskim v'tzarchei tzibur v'emunah. But sometimes it could be a yetzer hara. You know, you get so involved in it, and you know you're doing something so special, and it is so special that the family starts to suffer from it. And I remember as a bachur learning the Rabbag in Shmuel, and it just, you know, very scary words. And that Shmuel Hanavi's children did not become the next Gedolei Hador. And eventually the Klal Yisrael asked for a melech, which eventually led to the Golus, says the Rabbag in his parish in Shmuel, is because, I mean, we can't say it takes a Rishon, like the Rabbag, to say it, but so Shmuel was too busy with Tzachet Zibor. Obviously, I mean, on his level, I mean, Shmuel was the, you know, Baal Chinuch par excellence, but on certain Nakudas, there was just a little too much there. You know, it's, again, we can't say, who are we to judge Shmuel, Hanavi? But it was a lesson that the Rabbag always tried to bring out, a certain lesson, at least that the lesson we could learn from there, that you have to You have to catch yourself, you know, that, you know, maybe I can't. You have to know when to stop. Our next topic is authority. We are obligated to machanech our children. So we teach them how to do mitzvahs, how not to do averas. We also have to teach them how to do kibud av v'eim. Where are they going to learn it from? Where are they going to learn kibud av v'eim from? So, you know, whether you learn in school, whatever, but the real kibud av v'eim is certainly before they start to go to school, they're learning kibud av v'eim from us. So it looked kind of funny. We're teaching them how to honor us, but that's really what it is. We have to teach them to be machabed, their parents. And that's by teaching children that there is a concept of authority. So let me just give a little background more of what authority means. We all Yidden, and a Yid has to have Yir Shamayim. Yir Shamayim means that we have to be disciplined. That there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs, and we have to keep those mitzvahs. We don't have total freedom. And there's authority. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the authority that we have to listen to. And Yiddishkeit is a life of restraints, self-discipline. We can't do this, we can't do that. It's a beautiful life, and it leads to such a happy life because of it. But there's a lot of don'ts, that, you know, we can't do this, we can't do that. And who's the authority? It's Ribono Shel Olam. The Vilna Gaon writes that Shviras Hamidus is the Yisod of Olam Hazeh. We're here to work on our midas, to stop, to abstain, to build up our muscles, to be able to be shover our midas. And Kosh Baruch Hu guides us, and He gives us nisyonos as tests to help us work on these midas, and see if we're matzliach or not. And Rachman Litzlan sometimes says yisurin, large or small, that is to give us a little patch, to let us know that we're not doing the right thing, but it comes from an authority. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you rules, and there's har v'onish, and you have to follow the rules. Kibud av v'eim is also a life of authority. You know, there's people who you're meshubah to listen to. It's interesting, the Navi Yirmiyah discusses about the children, b'nei chavim, the descendants of Yisrael. And Kosh Baruch Hu comes to the Navi and says, I want you to go to B'nai Rechavim, and I want you to give them wine to drink. So they go and they come to the children, this family, this whole mishpacha, B'nai Rechavim, and they give them wine to drink. And they say, we can't drink wine. Can't drink wine. How come? Our father told us, meaning it's Masur in our family, we do not drink wine. Nothing to do with Naziris, because we don't drink wine. We don't have vineyards. There's other things that certain Kabbalahs in the family that we don't do. We live in tents, we live in houses. We don't drink wine. We're not going to drink any wine. And they listen to their family and their heritage, their parents, and they didn't drink wine. So Kodesh Baruch Hu tells the Navi, go to Klai Yisrael and tell them to look at B'nei Rechavim, how careful they were to listen to their parents. Why doesn't Klai Yisrael listen to me? So that kibud av v'eim was like what we were learning from. That was the malamed of the idea of authority, and that the Navi is supposed to go tell him. If he's kibud av v'eim, he's certainly got a mechaber to Kodesh Baruch Hu. But kibud av v'eim is a way of a type of authority. Now, we don't like authority. I mean, adults, if I could say probably men more than women, we don't like authority. We don't like being told what to do. And children, therefore, don't like authority either. And, you know, children just naturally, you know, don't like always being told what to do. And even if the person is right, a lot of times, especially by men, if I may speak for ourselves, we're offended. That's why a lot of times when we're lost and the wife is saying, why don't you just ask someone for instructions, you know. You know, we don't need someone to tell us where to go. You know, we know where to go. We'll drive around 15 minutes before we start. You know, women have that meat of a spotless, and that's something very special about them, and that, you know, that is very important for the family. But men, it has its positive aspects, but also it has its negative aspects. You don't like being told what to do. someone tells you, you know, your collar is up, you know, there's sustain, and you know, you say, oh, you know, it's very hard for us to say, oh, thank you so much, so, you know, and you say, I know that, I saw that, you know, to, you know, it's, you know, we don't like being told what to do. We live in a life of democracy, which is a new concept in the history of the world, you know, just a couple hundred years old, basically speaking, where there's so much freedom, and we don't have SS policemen around us, we don't have people listening to everything we say, and we've lived in a, we know what's, you know, we were all alive in the, as children or as even adults at the time when Russia was at its strength, you know, in our own time. And there's plenty of countries today that are still monarchies and terrible kings and everything. And that's what we lived most of our lives. Certainly, you know, wherever we were in the world, we lived under very, very strict kings, czars, whatever it was. And it was terrible, but at the same time, we knew what authority was. In fact, the Sfarim being down there, the Sfarno and the Meshech Chochma, they don't say the exact same thing, but the basic idea is that Kleisel had to go to Mitzrayim to learn authority. The Shibud and everything, because, you know, they were wonderful, the Shvatim and Bnei Yaakov and so on and so, but if they're going to be Makabal the Torah, they need 210 years of the Marines. I meant them worse. I mean, just, you know, of being told what to do in order to be able to Meshavet themselves to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I mean, and obviously, there's a terrible Shibud, but that's what we needed. And the Meshech Chacham points out, they also had to see a Paro. Kleisel had to see a Melech, what a Melech is really about, that, you know, so strong and such koach, and everybody has to listen to him in order to show themselves to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That was necessary to learn about authority. Many of us think that, you know, once we finish high school already, then you know, we're free. You know, no one has to tell us what to do. Parents will tell us what to do. You know, a Rav tells us to sign a form about the internet filters. And I'm not in high school here. You know, I know what to do already. But that's not a Yiddish life. A Yiddish life is we live under authority. And we, as parents, have to machshiv authority. We cannot criticize authority. Because then our children will also not be machshiv authority. Our children hear what we say, they copy us, and we are role models not just to our own children, but to other children too. Sometimes a person, he's not, you know, he's just got married, doesn't have any children yet, but you have to realize that when you come to shul, the other children are looking at you too. So we know Chazal tells us not supposed to talk during davening, and depending on the shul, the Gabbai, the Rabbanim are saying, shh, you know, don't talk during davening, and you manage, you know, you want to talk during davening anyways, children are going to see you. You're not respecting authority. You know, there's rules. I was once on a bus. Child gets on a bus, and with a large bill, like a $50 bill, you know, for a $1.30, bus ride. And the bus driver told him, and I don't have change for that. I'm only obligated to carry change for up to $20, whatever. That's too big of a bill. I told him very, very nicely. I was right there. I was next in line. And the child says, rules, rules. Shusha dienuka, bashuk, odavur diime. You know, the Chazal tells what a child says comes from their home. Now, a lot of times our children will come home saying things that, you know, don't come from the home. And so don't get all nervous about that. But their attitudes come from the home. An attitude is not just going to come from a friend. You know, you're a real deep ingrained attitude comes from the home. As I can imagine that, you know, the parents in this home, you know, rules, yeah, the bus driver tells him who's he to, what's he, doesn't he, barely has a high school diploma, you know, he's going to tell you what to do, you know, but that affects the children. We go to amusement parks or all different types of things like that, and, you know, you have to, children have to be a certain size to go on or not to go on a ride, a certain age. And sometimes we'll say, you know, I have to be 12 years old. Okay, you know, Yankee, you're already, your birthday's next month. It's all right. You're close enough, you know. And so besides a lack of integrity, and in Yonei Sheker or whatever it is, which I don't want to get involved in now, but that's teaching children that rules are not so important. Rules could be bent. Authority is not so important. And that makes a very big difference. Chazal tell us that Hisnasi Lachol Rosh, that even someone who takes care of the water for the city, some low job, that's a sarara. I mean, he's authority. He has a job. And you have to respect that. Sometimes you have a janitor who's cleaning a floor. Right? You come into a doctor's, some type of, office building and school, whatever it is, and the janitor's cleaning the floor. And one side is just washed, the other side is, he's cleaning now. And he tells you, please don't step over here. It's still dry. And you see it's dry. It's dry already. So you tell your children, let's just go over here. It's close to the elevator. We'll walk over there. So you think, what's the big deal? Who's this janitor? But he's an authority. He's authority. He's the floor technician, we call him. He has authority, and we have to respect authority, whether he's the President of the United States, whether he's the head of this cleaning of the floor. And our children, if they see that we're not respecting rules, not respecting authority, it makes a big negative impression on them. Driving. When our driving habits, our children are looking at us and how we're driving. Sometimes we drive better when we're in there, when put children in the car than when they're not. Either we want to be safer or we want to make sure that they don't catch on bad habits. But it's very hard to hide things from children. And one time I was driving on Taney, they put a new stop sign there a few years ago. A lot of people are still not used to it. They drive right by it. So I'm trying to be careful, very careful. I stop by the stop sign. I wave. There's someone that I know that lives in one of the houses over there. I wave to him. And I drive to my house. I get out of the car and into my house. And another, I think right behind my car was his car. He said, Rabbi Berger, thank you so much for stopping for that sign. I live right across, right near the sign. And so many people just drive right through it. So we have, these are things, we got to keep rules. Seat belts, car seat rules, even though they might not make sense and so on and so forth, why, this and that. But our children have to see that we're keeping rules. I know how many of you have taught your children driver's ed, but I was zocheh to do that this last year, teaching my daughter how to drive. And it starts to hit you. When you want to, you want your child to drive safely, and then you start to start behaving. I got to really show them that I know how to drive properly, that I keep the rules and so on and so forth. And you can't wait till they're 16, 15 and a half years old to start doing that. You have to work on it now, on keeping rules. So this is all rules that in our society, governments and so on and so forth. And Kol Shekein and Kal Vachomer, keeping the rules of the Torah. There's halachas to keep, there's dinim, whether it's in Yonei Brachas, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Snias. We can't be training our children and sending our children to schools to learn the mitzvahs when we ourselves are not machshavit. We want our children not to speak Lashon Hara. So how can we speak Lashon Hara? So we say, in front of my children, I'll be careful. It doesn't work like that. Children, no. Children, and we always slip, and there's always Lashon Hara being spoken in front of children. They see us speaking Lashon Hara, and it's such a steer in their mind. My father talks during davening. My father speaks Lashon Hara. But I know it's, but I'm not sure my father. It's such a hard thing for a child to be masik. And it's important for us, again, we're not perfect. Children understand mistakes. But we have to keep the lachas in the proper fashion. There's terrible stories. I myself had someone come to me, discovered that their father was looking at improper things on the internet. Or other things in the house that were improper, they found in a certain drawer or whatever by accident. They went to open up one drawer, they opened up the wrong drawer. You cannot hide things from parents. Our shmiras ha-mitzvahs, our dveikus ha-kodesh baruch hu, is seen by our children. So that's all keeping the rules. What I'm going to speak more about, which is Nogeya to Kibud Av Ve'Em, is respect of authority. Not just of the rules, but of the person that has the authority. And that's something which we want to teach our children to do, to respect ourselves as parents. Kibud Av Ve'Em. So there's the president, there's government officials, It's very important not to make fun or talk in a degrading manner about government officials in front of our children. Now, we know there's corruption in every government. It's been from day one like that. We know government officials are not perfect. Chazal tell us about it. We all know. And keep that to yourselves. Or when you want to talk to your friend of who you're going to vote for, keep that between yourselves. That's not to be exposed to children. Children have to realize that the president of the United States, the president of Swahili, is that's authority. That someone is important. Certainly, of our own country, the United States. I mean, that's someone who is chashuv. You know, it's a goy, but who's something who's chashuv. And about all government officials, policemen. You know, we've been involved in our own carpool about sometimes children making fun of policemen. Every time you drive by this policeman, oh, that stupid policeman, oh, that stupid, you know. Again, Shusa Dianuka, you know, where are they learning this from? It's very important that you're machshiv people to have authority. Not every policeman is correct. Not every policeman does the right thing. Okay, we all know that. The world is not perfect. But children have to grow up, and don't be worried that, oh, no, they're going to be too naive as they grow up. Don't worry about that. Children will learn the real way, what the MS about the world in their own time. But as children, they have to realize that a policeman is someone chashuv. When you talk to a policeman, you say, sir. I mean, that's the way it used to be, even here in America amongst goyim. And that the whole society has lost that today. There's a story, it happened in Lakewood. That the Lakewood before Purim, when the rabbanim, he gets together with the police to discuss about Purim, to make sure things aren't hefker and that everyone delivering mishloach manos and everything. They want to make sure things are masuder, so they get together with one of the main policemen there to have a chanas for Purim. And the policeman said, you know, he was supposed to meet at a certain time, and then he suddenly called the rabbi. I said, Rabbi, just as I was driving to the meeting, someone went through a red light. I'll be 20 minutes late. So it happened to be a woman, a firm woman. Two children in the back seat. She went through a red light. And she tells the policeman says, do you know what you did wrong? She said, yeah, I did not drive properly. You know, she went through the red light. She admitted to it. He says, do you have any reasons why you did that or anything? She says, no. Did the wrong thing. And she said, ma'am, you're supposed to always, you know, tie it back to me, you know. You're supposed to say, it's supposed to take 20 minutes here, you know. You're supposed to say that, I was busy, because the truth is she had like a bottle in her hand. She was evidently trying to give the bottle to the baby at the time she was driving. You know, so she had excuses why she wasn't paying attention, which, whether the policeman's going to accept it or not, but, it's a natural thing that you give excuses, you know, and it's the first time it ever happened to me. I got a perfect record, this and that. And she said, no, you know, and the policeman said again, he says, you know, ma'am, are you sure, you know, is there anything you want to, and and she's looking at, she had a five-year-old child, the other child was a baby, five-year-old child, and she says quietly to the policeman, says, I don't want to start giving excuses, it's not a proper way to teach my child. So a lot of times, you know, we might get a ticket or this and that, a parking ticket, to park the right side, the wrong side of the street. You know, it's our natural tendency, it's the end of the month, the policeman has to meet his quota, and, you know, and whatever. But when children hear that, then they're not machshav authority. You know, that they're not machshav authority. They have to be machshav authority. And then it comes down to schools, teachers, whether it's in playgroup, whether it's preschool, kindergarten, Rebbe, teachers in Beis Yaakov type schools, whatever it might be, that it's there has to be respect to the principal, to the teachers, and to the school. No school is perfect. No principal or teacher is perfect. And we're not perfect as parents. And to start complaining about things in front of children, about their own teacher, about their own school, their own principal, is an avla. It's mamish standing the child in the wrong way. Not to be sarcastic about the school. We recently heard from one of the principals that a child in their school got a kanas for doing something wrong. And nothing major. He had to pay the kanas a couple of dollars. And the child came in and paid in pennies. Like a funny thing, you know. yeah, I know, I owe $2, here's 200 pennies, you know, and expecting the secretary to go count it. And it was clear, the Machanef told me that, you know, it's coming from the parents. The parents, he's very sarcastic about the school, very cynical, you know, and about the school's rules and this and that. And the chutzpah comes down to the child. Later on, I'll discuss more about chutzpah. But we have to respect, and we have to be machshavit. I mean, as a rav, I see mistakes, you know, Rebbe children might make, you know, and understanding this and that. Maybe a certain halacha was tart, it wasn't perfect, whatever, you know. But you know, listen, they'll be all right. I don't say anything about it. I don't make a big deal about it. Once there was a teacher that was. Some parents were complaining that, you know, maybe she wasn't so, the teacher wasn't so accurate in whatever is the particular pasuk and chumash and rashi, I don't know, whatever it was. So the principal called me up. My child was in the same class. He says, Rabbi Berger, what do you think about it? You know, should we make a big deal about it or not? You know, are you happy with the teacher? I said, doesn't bother me. My child's happy. They're learning a lot. Everything is fine. I don't, you know, put the wrong comma in the wrong place in rashi, a bad mistake, it doesn't bother me. And that's again, you know, sometimes things have to be corrected. I'm not, you know, obviously there are always exceptions to the rule, but not to be so concerned. And we all know the Gemara of Baba Basra, Avuya ben Tzruya, and his Rebbe, as a Cheder Rebbe, taught him wrong, you know, the wrong pronunciation of a word, and came into all, and it led to a terrible mistake. You know, don't be so worried about that. You know, don't worry about that. Don't be so frum. It'll be all right. A story that I grew up with, this is my story that my father should be gezunt, he would say at the Shabbos table. Every once in a while I would hear this story. Story about the Pazer. I think I said it in Shul once in the Drusha. Pazer, one of the Tamim in the Kriya Satara. So there would be my father was in Cheder in Borough Park. He had a European Rebbe. When the child wasn't behaving, he would put his hand on the ear and say, Pazer, you'll get the whole, and turn the ear. I'm not saying this should be done today, I'm not saying it was right, you know, that, but the yisod is very important. And my father told me, you know, it was his friend, he was in class, it tore the cartilage of the ear one time. And they took the child to the, you know, hospital, he got stitches, nothing major, but, And my father, and the story is my father remembers when the child came home from the hospital, or you know, that the father gave it to the child. Why didn't you listen to your Rebbe? Didn't go and sue the Rebbe? Didn't go and I don't know, you know, maybe on the side he might have done it. I don't know. I'm not sure whatever happened in the back, you know, but as far as speaking to his son about what the Rebbe did, he said, why didn't you listen to your Rebbe? As a child, you know, this is a story that I would hear from my father. Again, I'm not saying, you know, the example, you know, I'm not saying that Rebbe is right, not, you know, but that was the way it used to be. A teacher is right, even to this extent. We have to show respect to, and we ourselves have to show respect in front of our children. And even not in front of our children, but Mamela, therefore in front of our children, of the elderly, of Zakanim, people that are older than us. It used to be, I remember as a Bachur in Yeshiva, when an older Bachur came to speak to an altar Bachur, you know, you're in first, you know, you're in the, you know, in the first year, and a Bachur from the fourth year came to speak to you in Chabur already, whatever, you stood up for him. You know, if someone older comes to speak to you, you stand up for them. There's a certain chashivas to someone who's older than you, even though it might not be authority. To relatives, you know, aunts and uncles. By the way, aunts and uncles should not be called by their first name. And children have to learn, when they call their aunts and uncles your own brothers and sisters, you call them aunt, tante, whatever lashon you use, you don't call them by their first name. There's a certain chashivas of someone who's older than you. Sometimes aunts are even younger than the children, but these days. But it's certain chashivas that has to be taught. And these are things that we have to teach it within our family. Neighbors, you know, sometimes you have a good friend, you know, so a woman next to her neighbor, Tzipora. So, so you say, go to Tzipora and get some eggs, go to, you know, that you really, when you're talking to your children, call them Mrs. Goldstein. Don't call them by the first name. There's certain chashivas to older people that has to be taught to children. There has to be... See, he has authority here. so we need to show respect to authority. The next aspect of authority, if I may, I'm uncomfortable speaking about, so I have to just change hats here, but it's respect to Rabbanim. Obviously, I guess I have an Agias Padover. But as a rabbi's son, right now I'm not the rabbi. Now I'm just a rabbi's son, just a regular person. And I think it's something, the yesodot have to be taught, and I guess it's my job to teach it. So I'm changing hats for the time being. That also is authority. Rabbanim, whether it's gedolim, whether it's a rav or shul, there's a certain aspect of authority that goes with it. And we have to teach our children that. There's a story, a very sad story, told over by Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, that once a Chashuv Talmid Chacham, I think he's a Rosh Yeshiva, he came to Rosh Hashanah Zalman and asked him, he said, you know, why is it that, you know, I'm Rosh Yeshiva, I'm a Talmid Chacham in my own right, and my children just don't have the same Chashivas at Torah, they're not the same B'nai, that's not what I wanted them to be. Meanwhile, my next-door neighbor, who's a total Amaretz, doesn't know how to learn a black Gemara, doesn't know how to make a leni. And his children are mamish, you know, Roshei Kolo, and Chashev Yungalite, and the Machshev Torah, and everything, beautiful children. And what went wrong over here? You know, I know the Galus HaTorah, I know the Chashiv HaTorah, how come I could not express that to my children? What went wrong? So Rosham Zalman says it's Pashat. He says, you know, a lot. You're Rosh Yeshiva. You have your own shittas. You have your own mahalach. And you evidently were very critical about others. You know, your son comes home and shows you, I'm not saying shows him and said this whole thing, Arichas, but your son comes home and so do you. Rebbe said, that pshan tos is, nah, I got better pshan tos. It's like the way playing Yeshua learns, you know. And that's just the way you talked. And about gedolim, about their own shittas, whether it's chassidim, misnagdim, whatever it was, you know, you expressed your own opinion, which was certainly in the eyes of children, a lack of respect. Maybe you didn't mean it that way. And that's the way your children grew up. Meanwhile, this other person who's in Tolam Arts, he doesn't know who's right and wrong, all the politics and everything about Gedolim and everything. You know, every single Gedol was so special to him, so, and that's the way it's supposed to be. That is the emes. Every single Rav, every single thing that his children were taught was so special. And that's the way he expressed it to his children. That's why they grew up that way. And we as B'nai Torah have to be very careful about that. Yes, we know. We know how to learn. We might have our own personal mahalach and shita and whatever it might be, but you have to be very careful that doesn't rub off in the wrong way in children. You have to, in my family, I don't, as far as, even though, I can't say I agree with every psak I hear, with every shkaf I hear, from different rabbanim and different gedolim and everything, my family does have no idea about that. My children have no idea. As far as they're concerned, every single, whether it's an Admor, whether it's a Rav and B'nai Bar Yishalayim and New York, I mean, everyone's the same. Everyone's chashuv. They don't know anything about it, even though maybe personally I disagree, whatever, but they don't know anything about it. They have no idea about it. I once had I can't say a taina, but I didn't understand a certain mahalach of one of the Gedolim, our Gedolim, a few generations ago. And I went to one of my Rebbeim, and I went to, and asked him, you know, what is, I just wanted to know, like, in the Trino, Torah Hilma Velumani Tzarech, what was this Godel's Mahalach? Why didn't I understand why he had certain shittas about certain things? So the first thing he told me, he says, I know from my mother that all of Rebbe's are tzaddikim. You know, don't, we don't have tannas in anyone. And then later on, afterwards, he answered my question and said why this gadol did that. They had a certain cheshbon and so on and so forth. But all the rebbes are tzaddikim. You know, we don't start. That certainly has to be the attitude in the house. So in respect to a rav, and again, I'm taking off my hat for the time being. As respect to a rav, these are things that children, whether it's our own children or other children, have to see. Saying good Shabbos when you stand in line, you know, after Shabbos, it takes extra time. But when you stand in lines with your children or not in front of other children, that's what brings chashivas to authority. That children see this is authority. And you can't wait till you bring your children to shul. You have to do it beforehand. I myself learned the hard way. I mean, I was once davening in a shul, and very chashiv rav, and there's I was davening in the back of the shul. I staying by a relative, and I happened to stand down by the shul. And after davening, it was a very long line. Everybody went to say good Shabbos to him. And I was planning to do the same. But it was a very long line. Probably, I estimated probably like 7 minutes until it gets smaller. So I'll go, you know, I got a little behind in the parsha, spend time in the parsha. And I kind of made a mistake. Meanwhile, the line was almost ending. And one of my rabbeim, who happened to be there for Shabbos, I think, is a guest speaker. As Ramosh Eisman Shlita, my Mashkiach. So he comes over to me. And he says, "Nu, Yossi, why aren't you saying good Shabbos to the Rav?" And I don't know if I told him my chesed was or not. If I try to excuse myself, sometimes it's good not to excuse yourself. You take the blow and that's it. And but you know that's part of showing chashivas to authority. You're not doing it for the Rav. You know the Rav shakes enough people's hands. You know, Ritaki is important. It's how many rabbanim know who's in shul, who's not, and who's you know is. There is obviously a mila for the Rav too, but it's you're doing it to show respect to authority. I know something which I kind of grew up with. I assume it comes from my father that you go to a shul out of town, and you say hello to the Rav. You know, I was somewhere in Connecticut. We were on our way to visit a relative, and we just stopped quickly to catch a mincha in the shul. And a young Rav, you think he's a mamish, he's like his first stellar. He was like, I think, for a few days, and he was a mamish. He didn't even know that. I think I knew the shul as much as he did, you know. much younger than me, and, without any experience and everything. But that's his shteller. He's the authority here. After davening, I was with my older son then, a few years ago. I went over to him and introduced myself, and traveling through, whatever. I gave him chashivas. He's the rabbi of the shul. I know more than him. He knows more. It doesn't make a difference. He's the rabbi of the shul. I know when I'm in other shuls in the city, and even if it's friends of mine who we knew each other in yeshiva and everything, but if it's in their shul, then I'm hotter than them. You know, I stand up a little bit for them. I'm mach of them. You know, because they are the authority in that shul, and they deserve covet. And that's just things that children have to see. And if it's not done, children catch this. Chazal tell us, "Eizim mechubit kol mechaberes habrius," that if we want our children to respect us, then we have to respect others. You know, people complain, "How come my children don't listen to me? How come they don't?" Well, do you listen to other people? Do you listen to the policeman? Do you listen to the rav? Do you listen to? I mean, if we listen to authority, and you're mechaber authority, then they'll listen to you. So here's a few eitzes, practical eitzes, how to bring authority into your house. Again, you have to teach kibud av v'eim, so you have to teach your children that you're the authority. It has to be done in a proper fashion, but it has to be done. So for example, the father. The father has to be acknowledged as he's the head of the household. And this will be the mother's job. The mother has to teach the children that Abba, Tati, Dad, whatever he's called, he's the king. My children joke around about Burger King. You know, I shouldn't say my wife, but the children don't talk that way. My wife, but there's a king in the household. There's a king, which means rich. Some of this is a halacha. Some of this is just proper derech eretz. There might not be black and white. You know, not to sit in the parents' chair and the father's chair is ahead of the, you don't sit in it. When you set the table, to first set the table for, you put Abba's plate down first in silver and so on and so forth. When you serve Abba first. When you, and this can be done at a very young age. You don't have to wait till they're 6 or 7. You know, even when they're little and they're just bringing things to the table. You know, barely there, you got to hold their hands to bring something to the table. You teach them Abbas. You know, that's Abba. Not to start eating before the father starts eating. Now, sometimes, you know, the child will start eating beforehand. He's getting hungry is one thing, but especially by the Shabbos table, when there's like you're officially sitting down and everything, or if it's during the week, if you're able to do that, to officially have an official time that you're all eating together, sometimes easier said than done. But, you know, your first Abba has to start eating or something. Sometimes I get carried away. I'm talking to a guest or something, and I at the Shabbos table, and my wife has to remind me that everybody's waiting to eat. You know, everyone's waiting to, the children are waiting to eat. You know, but there's a certain respect that if they grow up with this, they realize that there's something special about the parents, and that's a mother's job to teach the children about that. Also, standing up for parents. It's brought down to Shulchan Aruch that children are supposed to stand up for parents. We're not really so makrid about that. Bisman and Aiden, parents are mochu. Even in very chashuv families of a gedolim, many times, you know, it's known that they didn't want their children to stand up for them. But I think in our generation, where the authority has been so degraded, it's very important that at least when a father comes home from work, comes home from kolo, he comes home into the house, or comes home from davening, like there's some like official entrance to the house, not just going from one room to another, that the children should be taught to be mahadarim a little bit, you know, to get up a little bit, just a little bit, or completely, or a little bit, whatever. It's very important to teach that. And that's as far as the father. And the father has to teach the children the respect to the mother. Always compliment the mother in front of the children. You know, mommy works so hard. And, you know, she really loves you so much. Look how much time she gives to you and this and that. You know, that the children have to know that there's a special hashivas to the mother. And these are very important, some very, 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 very important yesodos that have to be taught in the family, that the family has to know there's authority in the family. Once there's authority in the family, then it's much easier to teach children to know and what to do and not to do and everything else, because there's already authority in the family. If the family is just hefker and there's no authority, then then obedience and restraint is much more difficult. So I think we'll stop over here. But Yisrael Shem, we're going to have a shiurim in the future discussing more about teaching noted children and so on and so forth. But I think at the time being, through Pesach, it's important to little by little make this part of our families. The love, the time we give to our children, and the chashivas of obedience, the chashivas of the laws of obedience, the children who have authority, the Bali authority, whether it's Rabbanim, the Lahado policeman, and also the hashivas of the parents within the house itself. And shall all be zocha, together with our tefillas, to be masliach in raising our beautiful children.